The beautiful shoreline, the calming sound of Lake Michigan, the glorious sunrise, the warm June afternoons. This is Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, June 11th through the 14th, 2011. The program, Dr. Paul L. Meyer, professor of history at Western Michigan University and frequent guest on Issues Etc. Hit the topic, the Crescent and the Cross, Islam and Christianity. Dr. Meyer will cover the historical background of Muhammad, the rise of Islam around the world, the beliefs and practices of this world religion, and what its future may hold. In addition, the four-day, three-night Luther Hostel includes interesting day trips to area attractions. For details how you can register for Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel, sponsored by the Concordia Bible Institute on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, visit the Concordia Bible Institute website at www.concordiabible.org or phone 262-243-4343.
How have we lasted 25 years? I non-jokingly say, my team and Jesus.
You could make a case that Oprah Winfrey was the only successful liberal mainline Protestant in the last 25 years.
And in all this, you have lived the words of Scripture. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken.
So the proclamation of the good news and victory and salvation of Christ, not doomsday.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
I think all over in newsrooms across the country, people are trying to figure out a way to put together a headline on this. The death of Jack Kevorkian, that doesn't sound like they're playing on this man's obsession with death. It is strange and ironic that a man who sought the death of many, who advocated for what has been called euphemistically physician-assisted suicide, himself dies of natural causes. What did he advocate for, and what role did death play in this doctor's life as a physician? Joining us for the first few minutes of the program, Wesley Smith, to talk about the death of Jack Kevorkian. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, the 3rd of June. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next hour after our conversation with Wesley. Dr. Larry Rast, newly elected president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. We'll talk about how seminaries form pastors, seminary education. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Wesley Smith is a regular guest, a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, an attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide, and author of several books, including Forced Exit, Euthanasia, Assisted Suicide, and The New Duty to Die. Wesley, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, how are you?
I'm doing well. You say that while he lived, Jack Kevorkian was prophetic. What do you mean by that?
Well, Jack Kevorkian had certain goals in society and certain beliefs. He was utilitarian in his outlook. He saw euthanasia and assisted suicide not so much as a way of alleviating suffering, but as a way of providing organs for people who wanted to live. He proposed suicide clinics that he thought should exist legally in every city. And this kind of a crass view that in the early 1990s, when he broke into the news, was unthinkable is now coming true. Think about it. In Switzerland, there are suicide clinics that cater to people not only in Switzerland, but who fly there from out of the country, who help kill people who aren't just the terminally ill, but also people with disabilities, even double suicides. For example, when a wife doesn't want to live without her husband who might be dying, they will do double suicides. That's precisely what Jack Kevorkian urged, and now that is being done in Switzerland. And when the people of Zurich were given the opportunity to shut that industry down, they refused by an overwhelming vote. Jack Kevorkian urged that organs be taken from people who were euthanized or assisted in suicide. He did that once himself, by the way. The media doesn't like to report the truth about Jack Kevorkian, but when he helped the kill Joseph Tushkowski, who was a quadriplegic police officer, he took the man's kidneys and offered them at a press conference, first come, first served. Right now in Belgium, under the legal euthanasia law, doctors are specifically tying euthanasia to organ harvesting and are traveling throughout Europe with a PowerPoint presentation saying that if patients with neuromuscular diseases, serious diseases of the neuromuscular variety, could be euthanized for their organs, that would be not for their organs, but and then their organs harvested, that would be splendid because such people's organs are not damaged, such as cancer patients' organs might be damaged. So we see the very, and Jack Kevorkian saying that if people just want to die, there's nobody should say no to them, kind of this idea, if you want to die, it's your body, do it whenever you want to. And we see in the Final Exit Network mobile suicide clinics in this country where people will go around with helium canisters and plastic bags to help people kill themselves, and it's very difficult to hold them to legal account. In the UK, thanks to the suicide tourism issue, the prosecutor of England and Wales is now allowing basically families to assist the suicides of loved ones by refusing to prosecute such cases, even though it remains against the law. So in that sense, Jack Kevorkian predicted a world that was coming, and he also seemed to understand that if you predicated whatever you did or whatever you do on the idea of preventing suffering and, quote, compassion, you can get away with just about anything.
So was he a driver of In Society, or did he simply reflect something? Was he simply an early reflection of what was already, even without him, on its way?
In one sense, I think he was both. He was a driver in the sense that he had the ego, if you will, to actually pursue this very openly and very audaciously. But he was not the cause. He was the symptom. The fact that people were unable to actually prevent him for nearly 10 years until he did get a little bit ahead of the cycle by filming himself lethally injecting Thomas Yoke and then immediately running to 60 Minutes with the video to play on the television. And people finally saw, wait a minute, this isn't about about suffering, it's about Kevorkian. But until then, he had basically created for himself, by several juries refusing to convict him of what he had clearly done, a license to assist suicides. And he showed that, I think, in today's society, there is a practical unwillingness often to actually stand up for principles in the face of intense emotional narratives. The emotional narrative is the driver of society today, not principle, not right and wrong, not even law, emotion. And Jack Kevorkian caught that, and he ran with it, and I think he pushed it along further than it might otherwise have gone.
I'm curious what you think about this. You say he pushed it farther than it would have gone. I wonder, how would you respond to someone that says, well, what Jack Kevorkian did was actually kind of provide the kook factor to this entire movement, and perhaps his very public advocacy slowed the movement's progress that could have happened quietly and behind the scenes more quickly than it did with his public advocacy?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. Now, some people say that because of the kook factor, the quote, more mainstream, and believe me, none of this is mainstream, but the more respectable-looking assisted suicide advocates got tarred a little bit, and it hurt them. The other argument is that he broke down resistance that they would have taken longer to break down. I don't know what the answer is. I know that I did an NPR show the other day before Jack Kevorkian died about this Final Exit Network, and the NPR show was a lot of young callers, and they were basically saying, I mean, almost to a person, and there were at least 10 calls, that if somebody wants to die, our job is to make it easier for them, not that we should engage in suicide prevention. I think there has been a potential shift in the center of our culture. I call it the CUDA culture. We are moving away from Judeo-Christian ethics, and that doesn't require faith, but it requires, like, believing in, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, the importance of the unique individual, into a society that is both hedonistic, that is, we should give in to every impulse, scratch every itch, fulfill every desire, and at the same time utilitarian, that says that if somebody is a cause of suffering or is experiencing suffering, killing is an acceptable answer to eliminating that problem. And if eliminating suffering becomes an overriding purpose of society, that very easily slouches into eliminating the sufferer. And I think Jack Kevorkian fit right into that. He fit into the idea of the, quote, choice issue. He fit into the idea that suffering must be avoided at all costs. He fit into the idea of we can pretend that we're caring for people by allowing them easier suicide rather than engaging in the more difficult aspect of suicide prevention, the hands-on, you know, compassion, the true meaning of that, the root meaning is to suffer with. Assisted suicide, that can be a very difficult process and very emotionally draining, but it is our obligation, and certainly a Christian obligation, to suffer with. Jack Kevorkian and others around this whole movement were able to convince many people that true compassion is to make it so if people want to die, they can, without regard to the fact that people change their minds if they're able to hold on past that darkness, even people who have been diagnosed with cancer and other terminal illnesses. I've seen it as a hospice volunteer. So in a sense, Jack Kevorkian pushed abandonment, but was able to convince people that it was just the opposite. And the really irony here is Jack Kevorkian's goal, as he wrote in his book Prescription Medicide, wasn't the alleviation of suffering. He says it very specifically in his book. His goal, as hard as this is to understand and accept, and maybe it's hard to look wickedness in the face.
With about 20 seconds here, Wesley.
His goal was what he called obitiatry. That was conducting experiments on people he was euthanizing. In fact, in pursuit of that goal, before he started assisted suicide, he went to all the prisons that execute prisoners in this country and asked to experiment on condemned prisoners as they were being executed. Only when the prison said no did he turn to the ill and the disabled.
Wesley Smith is our guest. He's senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center for Human Exceptionalism and attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide, and author of several books, including Forced Exit, Euthanasia, Assisted Suicide, and The New Duty to Die. We'll have a few more minutes with him on the other side of the break. Stay tuned.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
You'll find 130 Bible stories for young children in the Story Bible. It's the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June. The Story Bible contains high-quality, realistic art, discussion questions, and prayers. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Story Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040. Christ-centered, cross-focused, the Story Bible, the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Wesley Smith is our guest for a few more minutes. We're talking about the death of Jack Kevorkian. Then we'll talk about how seminaries form pastors, seminary education, with Dr. Larry Rast, the newly elected president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're coming to you live. It's Friday, June the 3rd. You mentioned obituary before the break. This was Jack Kevorkian's real interest. Again, just so that we understand how out of the mainstream, how bizarre his real interest in death was, what did he want to do?
He wanted to engage in human experimentation on people he was euthanizing. He called it, he liked to coin terms, he called it obituary, and he wanted to, he was a very death-obsessed individual, and he wanted to find out what it was that died with death. He was also an atheist, and so he couldn't conceive of the concept of the soul, so he said he wanted to do, I'm sorry to your listeners to hear this, but he wanted to do experiments on the living brain and the living spinal cord so that he could find out what was that special cognitive spark that ended with biological death. Now, that's pure quackery, you know, that there's no way you're going to be able to do experiments and figure that out in the sense of under a microscope. So he was just a death-obsessed and death-fearing individual. He got the moniker Dr. Death not because of assisted suicide. He got it in medical school because he would haunt the hospital wards looking for people who were dying and stare into their faces as they died. He once transfused cadaver blood into himself and into a fellow named Neil Nickel, apparently giving Neil Nickel hepatitis in the process. But Neil Nickel was a devotee his entire life and wrote a book that was never published but became the basis for the Al Pacino hagiography of Kevorkian called You Don't Know Jack that ran on HBO. And, of course, none of this about the taking of kidneys from Joseph Tushkowski or the obituary issue or the going to the death-condemned prisoners to seek experimental rights on them made the Al Pacino movie. In fact, what was really appalling to me was that after Jack Kevorkian got out of jail, the media almost turned him into this harmless, eccentric Muppet, as if he was just some kind of cranky grandfather with some wisdom. He was making $50,000 a speech from the universities, public universities in Florida, for example, and other places. So, you know, being a moral outlaw pays in this country. And in the end, in many ways, Jack Kevorkian prevailed. He was invited by Time magazine to the 75th anniversary, gala anniversary, as the guest of honor. This was before he was put in jail. And Tom Cruise ran up to shake his hand. So he is a reflection on what's happening in our culture. He is a dark mirror on our society. And I think that if we are appalled, and I hope we're appalled, by this entire spectacle, that we understand that it wasn't his fault, it was ours.
With only 30 seconds, what will Jack Kevorkian's legacy be?
I hope he becomes a forgotten footnote in history because we regain our feet and turn away from killing as an acceptable answer to human suffering and back toward a caring model and one that values all human lives. If, however, we go in the direction he desired, I think some will look upon him as a pioneer. I don't think we yet know which it'll be.
Wesley Smith is a senior fellow at the Discovery Institute's Center on Human Exceptionalism, an attorney for the International Task Force on Euthanasia and Assisted Suicide, and author of several books, including Forced Exit, Euthanasia, Assisted Suicide, and The New Duty to Die. When you purchase Forced Exit using the Amazon.com link at our website, a percentage of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand, and look for Forced Exit by Wesley Smith. Wesley, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.